We'll review now the machlokas between the Ketzos and the Sivis regarding Tosus on Daf Yudam Beis Dibra Maschil Isha. Tosus says Hasam Mishum Delav B'nei Shlichus Ninu. You have that? On Yudam and Beis is a Tosus that starts with the word Isha. I think there's only one Tosus of that Isha that fits. Yeah, so we're looking at the last line in Tosus, and he says Hasam Mishum Delav B'nei Shlichus Ninu. And that's why if you send the Be'ira, you send the torch in the hands of a Katan and he burns down someone's haystack, you're not chayef for that. Because there's no such thing as shlichus with a Katan. So the Ritva says, no. The Ritva says that HaSholeach as a Be'ira means not that he appointed the Katan as a shliach, but that he gave the Katan a fire. And he was a gorem for the ultimate hesek because he didn't watch the fire, but he's not chayav midin grama. But had he appointed the katan as a shliach, then we would say that the mice of the katan relates back to the mishalech, and the mishalech would be chayav. That's the Ritva. So we asked the question, and this was the Nesivus yesterday, how could it be that the Mishaleach, who appointed the Katan according to the Ritva, is Chayev? We have a principle called Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. So the Nesivus explains the Ritva by separating between what we call Kiyum HaMaisa and the Maisa itself. With regard to Kiyum HaMaisa, now we have a principle called Ein Katan Nasa Shliach. But with regard to the Maisa itself, there we can determine that the Katan could be a Shliach. And this is all based on a drasha, which I'm not going to go through now, from Me'ila, from Tficha Mechira, from Shlichus Yad B'Pikadon, says the Ritva, according to this interpretation, how are you, of the Nesivus, that if he would have appointed the Katan as his Shliach, then as far as the Asiyas HaMaisa is concerned, even though it's a Dvar Avera, that would relate back to the Mishalech, and we would apply the principle of Shlichus. And again, all that is based on the drashos from Me'ila and Tficha Mechira and Shlichus Yav V'Pikadon, etc. So that means that although on Kiyum HaMaisa there is no Shliach with regard to a Katan, but with regard to the Asiyas HaMaisa there would be Shlichus. You might say, but ain't Shlichus Dvar Avera, and the answer to that is that we're going according to Ravina, and Ravina says it all depends upon whether you're a Bar Chiyuva or not a Bar Chiyuva. The Katan is a La Bar Chiyuva, and therefore you would say Yei Shlichus Dvar Avera. There's no Shlichus, a Katan can't be a Shlichus. The answer is from Me'ila and Shlichus Yav B'Pikadon, we're going to derive the conclusion that there is Shlichus, and a Katan could be a Shliach. And the Gemara says that if you send a Katan to be Moel Behegdesh, then you're Chaya for that, and there is Shlichus. And the reason for that is because the Maisa Shliach, in this case, the Katan, relates back to the Mishaleach. Here's where the Ketzos has a disagreement with the Nesivus. And again, all this is in a footnote called 230 for those who like to follow the text inside. And the Ketzos says the following, that Enochinami, in the Ritva's frame of reference, had he sent the Katan to destroy somebody else's property, to burn down someone else's haystack, he would be chayav for sending the katan, but not because of shlichus. Comes along to the Ketzos, and although again he arrives at the same conclusion as the Nesivus, that in this case, according to the Ritva, the Mishaleach would be chayav, but for a whole different reason. And his reason is not because of shlichus, but because of a kind of grama b'nezikin. What does that mean? The Torah says that you're chayav in Ezekiel, according to the Ketzos, not because of the Maisa Hezek, but because of the Gram Hefzeg, because of the result of the Maisa Hezek, which means the financial loss that's sustained by the Nizak. That's where the emphasis is. The same thing, he says, the Ketzos, is true in Me'ila. The Torah is chayav you in Me'ila, not because of the Maisa of Me'ila, but rather for the Totsah that you are Moel Behegdish, that you are being Mechalel Kiddushas Hegdesh.
Even a Grama, according to the Ketzos.
Oh, So the Tzos is saying that if we shift the Machayev from the Maisa to the Totzos HaMaisa, then what the Torah is saying is in these cases like Me'ilah, Tvicha Mechira, Shlichus Yad Bevikadon, and now in the case of Hezek, you're Chayev for the Totzos HaMaisa, which means you're Chayev because you were Gorem, a loss for somebody else. And if that be the case, by appointing a Katan as a Shliach, and the Kotan now will destroy someone else's property, you are enough of a Gorem to be Chayav in the Zikin. Again, I'm not entering into the whole issue here, which is a whole month's learning about what exactly is something beyond Groma. In other words, when do we apply the principle of Groma and Zikin Potter? When do we say Groma and Zikin is Chayav? But whatever the answer to that question is, the Tzos says that if you appoint a Kotan to burn someone else's haste stack, you've already past the red line of Groma. In other words, you've gone beyond classic Groma. You're a real Gorim. Call it a Garmi, if you will. You're a full-fledged Gorim. So it has nothing to do with Shlichus. Shlichus means that the Maisa of the Shliach relates back to the Mishaleach. In the case of a Katan, there's no Shlichus. That Katan can't be a Shliach for. So there's no way, says the Tzos, that you can relate the Maisa of the Shliach back to the Mishaleach if the Shliach is a Katan. And why then, according to the Ketzos, are you chayev in the Ritva's frame of reference if you appointed the Katan to burn down Yenim's haystack? I mean, after all, there's no shlichus to a Katan. The Nesivus is going to argue that there is shlichus to a Katan.
It's not really shlichus, it's...
Comes along the Ketzos, he says this is not really shlichus.
Wait, but Nesivus is saying it's real?
Yeah, the Nesivus holds it's real shlichus.
Oh,
why?
Shlichus is only by change in...
Correct, that's Truma. So Truma is going to be the paradigm case where there's no, where the Kotan cannot be your Shliach. Atem Gam Atem means you have to be a Bardas, and the Shliach has to be likewise a Bardas. But that's because the Truma is the Kiyama Maisa. But if the Shlichus exhausts itself in the Maisa itself, that has to relate back to the Mishaleach, then we have a different paradigm. That paradigm is no longer Truma, but rather Me'ilah, and etc., etc., where the Torah says that a Kotan is a shliach, and the gadol is chayav v'me'ilah because of the action of the katan. And now we're going to say, according to the Tzos, that yesh shlichus l'katan, which means that a katan could serve as a shliach. A katan was mufka from shlichus based on the analogy to truma, which is a kiyuma maisa. But when we talk about the maisa per se, then we don't have a limud or yalfusa from truma to say that the maisa of the katan could not be a cannot fit the bill of shlichus. It will fit the bill of shlichus, and it relates back to Mishaleach. And we have other sources for that concept of shlichus on the mice itself. So whereas the Nesivus understood in the Ritva that appointing a katan makes the katan into your shliach, only as far as the mice is concerned, which in the case of Nezikin is all I need, then it makes you the Mishaleach as if you did the mice Hezek, your chai for the mice Hezek, says the Tzos name. There's no such thing as shlichus to Kotan. A Kotan can't be shlich at all, period, period, period. Not for Kiyama Maisa, not for the Maisa itself. But in the Zikin, like its mother in the case of Me'ilah, the Chiyuv is not because of the Maisa, but because of the Hezek and the Hefse that was suffered by the Nizak. And if you appoint a Kotan and tell him explicitly, go burn down Yenim's haystack, then you are the Gorem of that Hezek. We're not dealing with shlichus at all. There is no shlichus to a Kotan. A Kotan could never be a shliach. That's the sheet of the Ketzos. Okay, that's just a review of what we did yesterday. All right, we need a few more minutes of review officially. Okay. What I'd like to learn with you now is Tosfos Dibur HaMashkil Iboy Ovid Iboy Lo Ovid, which is the next Tosfos on the page. Iboy Lo Ovid, right? It's, the Gemara says Iboy Ovid, and then it says Iboy Lo Ovid. So in your printed Gemaras, it says in Tosfos Iboy Lo Ovid. Okay, yeah. That's fine. We can now start the Tosfos. Okay, good. I have your permission. V'im Tomar, Tosfos asks the following question. We're talking about a Ganov who has a Shliach. And if that Shliach has the ability to make a decision one way or the other, then we apply the principle of Ein Shlichus le'avera, so that Geneva as an Avera does not lend itself to Shlichus, but that's only because Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid, and the Shliach could make that decision. The exception is going to be perhaps the case of a Chatzer, right, where we don't have Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid. But now we're going to address a different question in Tosfos. What's the status of a Shliach who's a Shogeg? On the one hand, he doesn't know that there's an Avera. So to say Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid, that he made his own choice decision and therefore he, out of freedom of choice, he decided to violate the Avera, that's a little difficult to say. But on the other hand, he does have Das. He's not like a Chatzer, and therefore he could make the decision. So that's just by way of introduction. Again, we're talking now about Rav Sama. And if you recall, Rav Sama says that if the Shliach is not does not fit the profile of Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid, then Yesh Lichus Lidvar Avera. V'im Tomar, Tosa says, I have a mission in Baba Kama, Hoyam Moshcha, we're talking about a Ghana. And he's pulling the shar, that he, you know, he's stealing someone's shar, and he's pulling it, V'yotze. And he takes it out of the Rishus Bailim. So we're looking at, let's say this Gemara here is the Rishus Bailim. The Ganav takes the shor and he moves it beyond this. He falls off the end of the earth, right? So he's outside the rishus of the Bailim. And then the shor dies. So the Mishnah says the Ganav is potter. Why? Because he hasn't yet made a kinyan. Why? Because it depends. If he was motzi at Mishnah's Bailim, if already the shor left the confines, the domain of the nignav, of the owner, then he's chayav. Why? Because he makes a kinyan kneva the minute he takes it out of the rishus bailim, and then he's chayav. Why? Because once he has a kinyan, then whatever happens to the animal, even if it's the malach hamavos that takes the animal's life, he has to pay for that because he's already established his kinyan. In the first case, he did not establish his kinyan, and therefore he's potter.
But that's what I mean. He's potter because it was the Malach HaMavos who did it. I mean, if he himself threw...
Right, so then that's a sugya actually Bava Kama, where although he wasn't chayav as a ganav, he's chayav as a mas.
Right.
But here we're talking about a case where the animal died on its own,
right,
and now the only way you could be mechayav him to pay for the animal is to be made a kinyan. So here's where the Mishnah in Masechta Bava Kama makes this distinction. Did he make the kinyan? Where did the animal die? Let's say the animal died in the Rishus Bailim before the Ganav got a chance to take the animal out of Rishus Bailim, then for sure he's potur, because he's not chayav for onsim, as we said before, for Malach HaMavos, if he hadn't made a kinyan. But if he made a kinyan, that's called higbio o hotzio Rishus Bailim. So one of two things: if he takes it out of the Rishus Bailim, or he makes Akbah, then he makes a kinyan, and even though what happened at the end as far as the death of the animal is an onus, but nevertheless he has to pay because he made a kinyan. And again, once a ganav has kinyanim, he's chayav be'onsim. That's as far as the Mishnah is concerned, but we're focused now on Rashi. Rashi in the Mishnah says the following. Rashi says that we're talking about a case, Sha'omar ganav l'shomer, Shar echad yeshli bebeis ploni kechachenu v'tehei love shomer chino. My shar is right now in the hands of so and so, and what I'd like you to do is take it out of his hands, you know, remove it from his property, and you become a shomer chinam and replace him as the shomer. So he fools the shomer into thinking that this shor is actually his shor. He's telling the shomer to be a shomer on someone else's shor. I mean, it's a cool way of achieving geneva. You know, imagine if you trust me and I tell you, go drive this car, you know, Joe, drive this car, and you'll be my shomer, you'll be my chauffeur. But really, it's not my car at all. So I'm going to pull off this geneva and we're going to say, Ein shliach l'dvar avera. So Rashi says that in this case, the halacha is kehotzio ashom mishus bailim. It has the same status as if the mishaleach, right, the ganav himself, took the animal out of the rishus bailim, and therefore mace. Wait, Rabosai, I need it. Just give me 2 minutes. Is that all right? I'm sorry. I'm just not as sharp as you and not as fast as you. So again, I just want to get the facts on the ground. So again, there's a Rashi in Masechta Bava Kamma who learns the Mishnah as referring to a case where the Ganav appointed a shomer, fooling him into thinking that this animal belonged to him, and he asked him to take it out of so-and-so's reshus and become a shomer chinam on this animal. That's called kechena, in Rashi's language, kechena v'teilov, shomer chinam. Rashi says that in this scenario, the Mishnah says, kishotzio ha-shomer shuspailim, as soon as the shomer, because again, the shomer is now serving as a shliach of the ganav, he's the one who's taking the animal out of the shuspailim, unbeknown to him that this animal belongs to the bala chotzer, the bala harishus, thinking that it belongs to the ganav, and what he did was he took it out of the rishus bailim, or alternatively he made a mashicha. As we said, there are two ways that the ganav could be kona, and in such a case, says Rashi, the Mishnah tells me that the ganav is chayav. Now wait a second, we have a problem because what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that the shomer sets up a chiyuv gneva on behalf of the ganav, the mishaleach. Well, I got news for you. We have a problem because ain't shliach l'dvar avera. However, if we apply the principle of Rav Sama, there is shlichus l'dvar avera. The exception to the rule when we say ain't shlichus l'dvar avera is where we can turn to the shliach and say to him, iboy ovid, iboy lo ovid. You had a choice and you could have done whatever you want. Tosis in the Havamina now thinks that in this case, because the shomer is totally unaware of the fact that he's stealing the object, he thinks he's doing kedas and kedin by taking the animal out of the reshus of the bailim. He is doing the bidding not of the of a ganav, but rather he's doing the bidding of the owner of the animal, of the bala shor. Tosis says in such a case, you cannot consider it as if iboy of it, iboy lo of it. I'm sorry. Just the opposite. That's going to be Tosa's answer. I already jumped in. So in Tosa's Kashi, he thinks that what? That since the, despite the fact that what? That the shomer is unaware of the fact that he is stealing the shor, nevertheless, it still fits into Rav Sama's description of Iboy Ov and Iboy Lo Ov, because no one is actually forcing him, compelling him, like the case of a chotzer, to steal this animal. So Tosa says, Vamai, everybody have the place? Vamai? You see that word, Vamai? Vamai, why does the Shomer as a Shliach become a Shliach for Dvar Ver for Gneva? Vayi boy lo ovid, he has the freedom of choice. The Tosa's answer is, Yeshlomer keva deena Shomer yodea shu ganuv. He doesn't know that this is an act of stealing. He thinks that this Shor is rightfully owned by the Mishaleach, and he's the Baal HaShor, but in fact, he's nothing more than a ganav. Is Havile Kemo Chotzer. Tosfos says that the reason why Rashi says that in this case the Mishaleach is Chayav, and we do apply Shlichus, is because it's Havile Kemo Chotzer. And again, Chotzer is Baal Karcho, right? Is against the will, right? Most of them. In other words, when a ganav, you know, puts the stolen animal into his chotzer, in that case, the chotzer has no choice in the matter. That's called bal karchu mosiv ba. He puts it into the chotzer against the will of the chotzer. The chotzer has no will at all. That you can't literally compare that to the case of the shomer. The shomer does have a freedom of choice. He can decide that he doesn't want to fulfill the shlichus. But in terms of his knowledge, necessarily, in other words, in terms of what he necessarily knows and what he doesn't know, he is completely unaware of the fact that this is an act of Gneva. And that itself, says Tosfos, is enough to apply Rav Sama's principle of it's not Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid, but rather it's like the case of the Chotzer. So Tosfos vacillates back and forth in the Havamina of Tosfos and the Maskana. How do you describe and classify the case of the Shomer Chinam, who's a Shogeg in the Avera of Gneva? Is it considered Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid? Because theoretically, he could decide, I'm out of here, I'm not doing this. So he made that decision to do it. Or do we say, no, he made the decision to bring the animal on behalf of the rightful owner of the animal, but he didn't make a decision to do Gneva. He had no clue that he was involved in Gneva. So in order to explain this Tosfos, I would like to refer to footnote number 244. If you have the page that I photocopied for you, it's page Tuf Pei Hei. Tuf Pei Hei. How much is Tuf Pei Hei? 485? Is that correct? Okay, so I don't know if you have Tuf Pei Hei, but I'll just read it to you and you'll hear it as Torah Shebal Peh. You know, if there's anyone who could come a little bit early and do this photocopy for me, Tovo Lo Bracha, that would be great. Anyway, he says the following. Yesh lahazbir kavanosam. What does Tosis mean when he says that since the Shomer is guiltless, meaning he has no clue, he's not aware of the fact that this is a gneva, right? Then it's like Chotzer. He says, Kevan shetaymo shel Rav Sama. Oh, this is what I wanted to get to. He's giving us an insight into Rav Sama, and we'll see soon in a minute who these achronim are. Some of them we're familiar with, some of them are just names on a list. He says, "Taimo shel Rav Sama mishum divrei Rav v'divrei Talmud divrei mishomim." In other words, the Mashalech is not going to rely on the Shliach, which is the essential foundation of all Shlichus, because he thinks that the Shliach is not going to listen to him. Because divrei Rav, the Shliach should be listening to the Ribbono Shel Olam, not to him. But however, b'makom she'eino yodea, if the Shliach is unaware of the fact that it's an Avera, then there's no way that you could imagine Divrei HaRav here. What do we say? You should have listened to the Rav, right? Why? Because Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei Mishomim. But why would he listen to the Rav when he doesn't think he's doing anything illegal? As far as he's concerned, he is doing exactly what he's supposed to do. He's even doing a chesed and taking upon himself to be a shomer chinam on behalf of the owner of the shor. That's what he thinks. So when Melef, there's no divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, now the Mishaleach is absolutely convinced that the Shliach will fulfill his shlichus. Right? They have a good, they have an ongoing, well, I shouldn't say they have such a long ongoing relationship, because then probably the Shliach would know who he's dealing with, you know what I'm saying? But at least they have enough of a relationship that the Shliach would likely fulfill his Shlichus. Now all that is fine and dandy before we see another Chiddush here, which is, I think, on the pages I gave you. You'll tell me, do you have page Tuf Ayin Dalet? And I apologize, because again, there's a whole balagani of what pages you have and what you don't. Here's page Tuf Ayin Dalet, if anybody wants at least one copy, Coach.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, what we have here is one of the achronim, and he's standing in competition, so to speak, against the Mishnah Lamelech. His name is Shoshana Samokim. He says the following. We have an issue with Rav Sama. We're not sure of Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid of Rav Sama, in terms of whether he accepts the principle of Divrei HaRav and Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei Mishomim. And he says the following. Rav Sama cholek al Ravina dafka b'mokom shashliach over al lifnei iver. So what is the opinion of Rav Sama? That the violation of lifnei iver is itself the bitul ashlichus. The aver of lifnei iver is mevatelus es ashlichus. So let's say, for example, a kohen sends a Yisrael to mekadesh a grusha for him. So the Gemara says that according to Ravina, in such a case, yesh shliach l'dvar avera. Why? Because the Yisrael is a lav bar chiyuva. So Rav Sama argues, and he says that ein shliach l'dvar avera. Now, the act of the shliach of the Yisrael to be mekadesh an ish on behalf of the kohen, and this woman is a grusha, is not valid. Why isn't it valid? Comes along the Shoshana Samokim, and he says the reason why Rav Sama holds it's not valid is because in this case the Yisrael is going to violate the Iser of Lifnei Iver. Wait, just give me a minute. And v'gam al zeh shayach divrei harav divrei talmud divrei mishomim. So as opposed, in contrast to 156, which if you have the photocopy is the Mishnah HaMelech, and the Mishnah HaMelech holds that divrei harav divrei talmud divrei mishomim applies to Ravina, but it doesn't apply to Rav Sama. Just one second. So again, according to the Mishnah HaMelech, let me just go over this. If the reason of Ravina is because of Divrei HaRav, so here in this case, the Yisrael is not a Bar Chiyuva, so there's no Divrei HaRav, correct? And therefore, the Shlichus is valid, correct? According to Ravina, let's get the mathematics. The facts on the ground, according to Ravina, in this case of Yisrael, the Mekadesh Grusha for the coin, the Shlichus is valid. Why is the Shlichus valid? Because the Yisrael is not a Bar Chiyuva. If he's not a Bar Chiyuva, then there's no Divrei HaRav and Divrei HaTalmud. Oh. So now, the Gemara says that Rav Sama would hold that the Shlichus is not valid, because Ein Shlichus V'Aveira. So the question is why? So I mean, in the language of Rav Sama, all he says is because the Yisrael can make the decision one way or the other. But comes along the Shoshana Samakim, and he says no. The reason why Rav Sama disagrees in the case of Kohen Shesholach Esa Yisrael is because in this case Rav Sama holds he is a Bar Chiyuva. He is a Bar Chiyuva. And therefore, we could apply the principle of Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei Mishomim. And what makes him a Bar Chiyuva to marry a Grusha? I mean, the Torah never addresses a Yisrael and says, don't marry a Grusha. The answer is Lifnei Iver. That's the chaf of the Shoshanas HaMokim. That the reason why Rav Sama would say in this case that he is considered the Shliach of Bar Chiyuva and therefore Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, as opposed to Ravina who says Yei Shliach L'Dvar Avera in this case, is because Ravina holds that he's a Lav Bar Chiyuva because there's no Azhara addressed to Yisrael vis-a-vis a Grusha. Ravina is not impressed with the fact that the Yisrael is going to violate the Isur of Lifnei Iver. But Rav Sama, on the other hand, is very much impressed by Lifnei Iver. And therefore, he holds that the Shliach is now, help me out here, Rabosei, is now a Bar Chiyuva. Everybody have that? That the Shliach becomes a Bar Chiyuva because of Lifnei Iver. Oh. Now let's come back to Tosfos. We're talking now about a Shomer Chinam who thinks that he is legally taking the animal out of the Rishus of Reuven because he thinks that Reuven is not the owner of the animal, but Shimon is the owner of the animal, and Shimon sent him to take the animal. That's what we call a Shogeg. And Tosfos says that in this case, according to Rashi Bava Kama, the Meshaleach is going to be Chayav, and that's because the Divrei HaRav doesn't apply, meaning the Meshaleach has every reason to rely on the Shliach. Everybody with me? Why is the Meshaleach relying on the Shliach? Because in this case the Shliach is totally unaware of the fact that there's an Avera. He says the following: Lehasovrim, this is the Shoshana Samakim, Shetaimo Shel Rav Sama Mishum Lifnei Iver, is Kishe'eno Yodea, right, he doesn't know about the Gneva, Eno over Bilifnei Iver, Delo Shayach Lifnei Iver Bishoge. Okay, this is a Chiddush of the Stechemet. Let me just summarize the mathematical conclusion of the Stechemet, and then we'll try to figure out how we arrived logically at this conclusion. The mathematical conclusion of the Stechemet is that Rashi and Bava Kama would reject the Shoshana Samokim. if you want to make a note of that. What's going on over here? Where does the Stechemet come off to say that Rashi and Bava Kamma is against the Shoshana Samokim? The Shoshana Samokim claims that the reason for Avsama of Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid, is because he's violating Lifnei Ivir. The Nekudas, the Selah Machlokas between Rav Sama and Ravina is all about the status of Lifnei Ivir. Does Lifnei Ivir make you into a Bar Chiyuva? And here's where Rav Sama says the answer is yes, and therefore Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aveira in the case of a, what's it called, the Yisrael who marries off the Gush. Why? Because the Yisrael is a Bar Chiyuva. What makes the Yisrael into Bar Chiyuva? Everybody, help me out here, Lifnei Iver. Everybody have that? So it's Lifnei Iver that makes, according to Rav Sama's understanding, that makes the Yisrael into a Bar Chiyuva. Therefore, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. Okay. Comes along the Shoshana Samokim, and he says that the Yisrael is violating Lifnei Iver. Why is the Yisrael violating Lifnei Iver? Comes along the Stechem and he says the Yisrael is violating Lifnei Iver because he is aware of the fact that he's marrying this Grush on behalf of a Kohen. If he's marrying her on behalf of a Kohen, then he's well aware of the fact that he's a stumbling block, so to speak. He's helping and facilitating the Kohen from violating his Avera. Says the Seichevet, but the nature of Lifnei Iver is that you deliberately try to trip someone up or at least help him and facilitate his violation of Avera. You have to be amazing. If you're a shogeg, there's no Lifnei Iver. Wow, that's an interesting thing. Somebody's going to ask you on a quiz question. Wake you up in the middle of the night. He said, give me one Avera in the Torah where you don't violate the Avera b'shogeg. Every other Avera in the Torah, you violate the Shogeg, and therefore you need a carbon. You need a, right? It depends on if it's a thief, Karis, but whatever it is, you need a kapara for a Shogeg. But there's one Avera where, in a case of Shogeg, it's not considered an Avera at all. It's not an Avera b'Shogeg, but it's not an Avera. And what's that? Says the Stechemet, that's Lifnei Iver. Because Lifnei Iver, the Torah says, Yechayev, for your deliberate intention to try to get this fellow to violate the Torah law. So now let's go back to Rashi. Rashi says that Rav Sama would hold Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira in the case of a Shogeg. Well, wait a minute. According to Rav Sama, the way the Shoshana Samokim interprets Rav Sama, the reason why we're going to say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira in the case of the Israel is because he violates Lifnei Iver. And the violation of Lifnei Iver makes you into a Bar Chiyuva. Well, that couldn't be in a case of a Shogeg. So in the case of the Shomer Chinam, where he's a Shogeg, certainly Rav Sama would say in such a case, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. Why? Because he's a La Bar Chiyuva. He violates Lifnei Iver. The answer is he has no clue. He doesn't know that he's facilitating this Geneva. That's the finish of the Stechemet. So if you want to make a note of it, this whole discussion of the Stechemet is footnote number 242. I only mentioned this for anyone who likes to have the text. It's on page Tuf Pei Hei. And whenever you get a chance, you know, whenever you have an opportune moment, you'll borrow my sefer and you'll make a photocopy. Okay. Now, I said to you before, and this is on page Tuf Ayin Dalet again, which I do believe you have, that the Mishnah Melech has a different approach to Rav Sama. So let's see, this is footnote number 156, let's see if we can understand the Mishnah Melech. And he says the following, according to Rav Sama, where the Yeshlich L'Dvar Aveira, Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aveira, is hinges upon Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid. Now, the only time that the Shlichus L'Dvar Aveira according to Rav Sama is if it's equivalent to the case of a Chatzer, which is Bal Karcho Mosiv Lo. And then we're going to say Yesh Shlich L'Dvar Aveira, so the Ganav locks up the behema that he stole an animal in his Chatzer, and the Chatzer does the rest of the job for him, but that's Bal Karcho of the Chatzer. That's called Shlichus L'Dvar Aveira. Yesh Shlichus L'Dvar Aveira. So the Mishnah Melech goes back to the following question. He says, we have Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomim. And we said until now that Ravina, in a case of a La Bar Chiyuva, suspends the principle of Ein Shliach Dvar Aveir, which is based on Divrei Rav, because since the Shliach is a La Bar Chiyuva, therefore you can't say Divrei Rav. Right? What do you mean, Divrei Rav? He's not included in this Aveira. You remember we had a lot of trouble with that with the case of an Isha of a Gneva and so forth and so on. But certainly in the case of a Kohen who is being, I'm sorry, of Yisrael, who's being sent to marry for Grusha for Kohen, he certainly is what? Olah Bar Chiyuva. This Aveira doesn't appear on his radar screen. Again, forget about Lifayivir, but the Aveira of the Kedushin itself. So therefore there's no Divrei Rav, there's no Divrei Talmud. That's Ravina. So now the question is, what do we do with Rav Sama? Rav Sama says that in the case of Yisrael in Grusha, there's Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. Now if Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira is built on Divrei Rav, then there's no Divrei Rav in this case. He doesn't know, the Yisrael doesn't know beans about this lav of Issa Grusha. It's not on his radar screen. So there's no Divrei Rav. Meaning Ravina seems to be absolutely convincing. You know, he's twisting our arm here because of the Divrei Rav and Divrei Talmud. And yet Rav Sama, in that very same case where Ravina applies Divrei Rav and Divrei Talmud and says that because the Shliach is a Lav Bar Chiyuva, there is no Divrei Rav, and therefore Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, in that very case Rav Sama says Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. Why is that? Comes along the Mishnah Melech, he says Gam Rav Sama Sover, he also agrees to the Talmud of Divrei Rav, but Sover Shem Shaleach Shelo Yishma Lo La Shliach, the Shliach himself is not going to what? Is not going to listen to the Mishaleach, so thinks the Mishaleach. Again, that didn't exactly happen the way he anticipated it, but the Mishaleach thinks that it won't fulfill it. He won't fulfill his shlichus because of Divrei Rav. Because Yodea hu shamishaleach, I'm sorry, who's Arba? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Why is it that the Shliach won't fulfill the Shliach, won't fulfill his shlichus? Oh, because he knows it's also for the Kohen, and why would he do such a thing? Again, he's not happy with the thing either. But why? Ubevadei lo yirtzel achshilo beisu. Sha'ol v'shmol l'divrei Rav. Olav is referring to whom? To the Kohen. Olav v'shmol l'divrei Rav, and therefore the Israel is not going to fulfill this Shlichus, when Olav, meaning the Mishaleach, has to listen to Divrei Rav. Lachain, af she'ein ha-shliach bar chiyuva, sovra Mishaleach shelo yishma lo lehachshilo. So I think what's going on here in the Mishnah Melech is that we're operating with Divrei Rav in a psychological perspective, not in a halachic perspective. What do I mean? There was Ravina's going to ask the question whether the shaliach himself is obligated, mandated under Divrei Rav to refuse to fulfill the shlichus. That's the way Ravina understood it, and that all depends upon the halachic mandate. So since the Yisrael has no halachic mandate here, then there's no Divrei Rav, and therefore in halachic terms we can assume that the shliach will fulfill the shlichus because there's no Divrei Rav, there's no challenge over here. The Mishnah Melech wants to claim that Rav Sama disagrees on a psychological level, meaning sometimes there are situations in which, according to the strict letter of the law, there's no violation, there's no trampling on the Divrei Rav, but nevertheless I don't know what to say on a moral, you know, if you have a moral compass, so to speak, or a Jewish moral compass, you still would want to avoid doing that. Even though, again, there's no specific mandate. And that's going to be Rav Sama. Rav Sama is going to look at Divrei Rav from a psychological perspective, meaning in terms of the morality of Yisrael, even though technically he's not La Bar Chiyuva, but we think and we... and we believe that the shliach in this case is not going to go out and fulfill his mission, right? His commission, for whatever he was commissioned for, because he doesn't want to be machshil the mishalech in divrei rav. That's the way the Mishnah Melech. Just give me one more minute, and then the floor is yours. But now we get to the Shoshanas Hamakim, and the Shoshanas Hamakim wants to bring us back in Rav Salman's favorite reference to the halachic divrei rav, not this expanded the moral divrei rav, and therefore he says that it all depends upon whether the shliach will violate lifnei iver. Will he violate lifnei iver? And if he violates lifnei iver, then that itself makes him a bar chiyuva, according to the sheet of Rav Sama. And the aver of lifnei iver mevatelus sashlichus. Now we're going to say, according to Rav Sama, ain shlichus aver in the case where the Yisrael is violating lifnei iver. Shegam al zeh shayach divrei mishomer. So again, Whereas the Mishnah Melech understands that even Rav Sama is operating within the framework of the identical definition of Divrei Rav as Ravina, they both have the identical definition that Divrei Rav means are you a Bar Chiyuv or not. The machlokas between Ravina and Rav Sama boils down to an understanding of Lifnei Iver. How do we understand Lifnei Iver? Does Lifnei Iver make you into a Bar Chiyuv or does he not? And the Shoshana Samakim is going to come up with a very complicated, shall I say, halachic proposition or presentation to understand why Ravina thinks that Lifnei Iver is not an avera which would give you the status of a Bar Chiyuva in order to apply Divrei Rav. And that's based on Shchutei Chutz. Okay, I don't know if I can get into Shchutei Chutz now, right now. But L'Rav Sama, according to Rav Sama, we're going to say here that although Shchutei Chutz might be an exception to the rule, but the rule is that if you violate Lifnei Iver, you become a Bar Chiyuva. So again, I'm sorry, just one more minute, Yechiel, and then the floor is yours. To summarize the difference between the Mishnah Melech and the Shoshanas Hamakim in terms of two different understandings of Rav Sama, and maybe the case of Shogeg that we're dealing with now is going to be the Nafkamina. I hope it'll be the Nafkamina, that's the Steichemet, right? So there are two approaches to Rav Sama. One approach is to say that Ravina had a very strict, you know, he was straitjacketed by this concept of Divrei Rav. And he was very rigid, very limited about Divrei Rav. And he held that, just answer me one question. Did the Torah address you and tell you to avoid this action? Whatever that maisa is. And we're talking to the shliach. So we ask the shliach, is this an avera for you? If it's an avera for you, then Divrei Rav. And that undermines the shliach. So if it's not an avera for you, then there's no Divrei Rav, and Yesh Lichud Varver, that's Ravina. According to the Mishnah Melech, Rav Sama came up with a different understanding of Divrei Rav. It's more of a, what I call a metzius. It's not a halachic restriction, but it's a question of do we anticipate that the Shlich would do this or not? And here's where Rav Sama says that even though, technically, the Torah never was mazir, the Torah never addressed the Yisrael as far as Grusha is concerned, but nevertheless, because of the Divrei Rav that's incumbent upon them on the Kohen, we have rights, we have reason to believe that the Yisrael is going to tell him to go fly a kite. I'm not going to do this for you. I don't want to set you up with an Avera. You have to listen to Divrei Rav. That's the expanded definition of Divrei Rav in Rav Sama according to the Mishnah Melech. Comes along the Shoshana Sambokim, who he was, I'll tell you in a minute, or maybe you feel it.
He's a prima donna.
Oh, very good. Wow. That excites me to no end, right? Because in my book, the prima donna is up there with, you know, he should have been on Reb Chaim's table. I don't know if he was or not, but he deserves to be. That's just my feeling about the prima donna. I'm a big, gigantic fan of the prima donna. And you'll see, by the way, the Rav Shirman Yoredei, he always quotes the prima donna. If it was the sixth of Iyar, I would tell you something about my father, because the sixth of Iyar is my father's yahrzeit. I'd tell you about my father. I mean, he knew the prima gadim inside out. But anyway, so the prima gadim in Shoshanas Hamakim says the following. He says that Rav Sama's chiddush here is not in Divrei HaRav. His chiddush is in Lifnei Iver. And Rav Sama's perspective on Lifnei Iver was that makes him into a Bar Chiyuva, meaning there's a Divrei HaRav to the Shliach, to the Yisrael himself. He has to listen to the Torah. And the Torah is telling him, don't get involved in this kiddushin. Why? Because you'll be violating Lifnei Iver. And that enough is, it will set off Divrei HaRav. So according to the Prima Gadol, we don't have to expand the definition of Divrei HaRav. We can work within Ravina's strict halachic definition of Divrei HaRav, but Rav Sama is going to jack up Lifnei Iver to the level of Divrei HaRav. Yeah. You feel that now that at least I have a clue of what's going on.
No, you explain it better for me now. Now I get it. So.
I hope so. I think we're okay.
Sounds like he's using Mishabel's concept of Kol Yisrael Reiv Mizel Hazeh.
Maybe.
Your chiyuv as a shaliach is also to protect the Mishabel.
Right. But again, I don't know. See, I'm afraid that Kol Yisrael Reiv Mizel Hazeh might be a halachic concept. My agenda here is to push Rav Sama into... I'm talking about the Mishnah Melech now, I meant to say. My agenda is to push Rav Sama into a kind of... Let's see what he says. He says... Rav Sama is based on the fact that Divrei HaRav means Sovra HaMashaleach Shelo Yishma Lo HaShliach. So it's all like a psychological kind of thing. You know, it'd be interesting to see the ramifications here in other cases. Like, let's say I would send you to the moon, correct? As my Shliach. Would we say Yesh Shliach Lidvar Moon in such a case? Meaning, do I rely on you that you're going to fly up to the moon? I don't think they send people to the moon anymore, do they? The Israelis were sending, but it was not. There were no people inside.
No, commercial flights to the moon are starting in a couple of years.
Oh, okay. So maybe the luck would change.
Put his down payment down.
And what's he going to gain from it? He just wants to take moon rocks? He's going to sell moon rocks? I mean, what do you get from the moon? I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't mind taking a little trip on the moon, but only because of curiosity. I wouldn't put my money on it. But anyway, so it's all a question of Divrei HaRav Yodeahu Shamashaleach Shashliach Lo Yishmalo. Oh. Now we have to analyze the mindset of the Shliach. Right? You know what? Right? We're now in the putting our feet into the shoes of the Mishaleach. And we're asking, will the Shliach, do we anticipate the Shliach will fulfill the Shlichus? Oh. So in order to do that, we have to put our mind into the set of the Shliach. Will the Shliach want to fulfill the Shliach? So he says, Bevadei lo yirtze lach shilo be'isur. I think that's a psychological description, right? Sha'olav, again, I think the word olav here in the Mishnah Melech goes back to the Mishaleach. That's not the Shoshanas HaMakim. The Mishnah Melech says that Rav Sama completely omits the definition or the category of Bar Chiyuva or Ein Bal Shukri. He's not a Bar Chiyuva. He's not a Bar Chiyuva. But nevertheless, you know, statistically or in terms of what we psychologically anticipate, The assumption is the Shliach is not going to want to, he's not going to want to get involved. It's like fair, if you know what I mean. The Israelis use the word fair whenever they want to talk about something that's like repulsive, you know. So now let's see if we can understand the Stechem. Comes along the Stechem and he analyzes Rashi in Masechta Bava Kama. And Rashi says in Masechta Bava Kama that Yesh Shliach Lidvar Avera in a case of a Shogeg, which means that the Shomer Chinam has no clue that he's involved in Gneva, and therefore we can anticipate that the Shliach will fulfill his Shlichus, and therefore Yesh Shliach Lidvar Avera. That was Rashi, and Rashi says that that's what the Mishnah in Bava Kama says, that as soon as the Shomer Chinam removes the animal from the Rishus of the Bailam and makes Akbar, at that moment the Mishaleach, meaning the Ganav, is Chayav for what? He's Chayav for Onsim when the Malach Mavis takes away the life of the animal. I we're talking about an Avera of Gneva. So let's just think. What would Rav Sama say about this? Rav Sama puts it all on Ibai Ovid, Ibai Lo Ovid. So, you know, initially I would say that my knee-jerk response would be that the Shliach in this case fits that category of Ibai Ovid, Ibai Lo Ovid. Comes along Rashi, and he says, no, that's not called Ibai Ovid, Ibai Lo Ovid, because he has no clue that he's violating an Avera. Says this, the Chemed, that interpretation of Rav Sama would make sense if you're talking about the Mishnah Melech. Why? Because the Mishnah Melech makes it all a matter of would he, right? The Mishnah Melech is that non-halachic category, right? I called it a psychological. In other words, do we anticipate that he'll fulfill the shlichus? And the answer is, according to Rav Sama, if we anticipate that he will fulfill the shlichus, then that's the case of Chatzah. Chatzah is the case where we anticipate that he will fulfill the shlichus because the Chatzah has no choice in the matter. Perhaps even a human being who has freedom of choice, we can anticipate that he will fulfill the shlichus even though it's a Dvar Aveir because he's a Shogeg. So according to the Mishnah Lamelech, Rashi is 100% in sync with Rav Sama. Now again, I might be wrong about this, but let me just give me a little rope and see if I can work this out. Rav Sama is going to say the following according to the Mishnah Lamelech. That the whole yesod of Ein Shliach L'Varveira is Eino Gotza Lachshilo. That we don't anticipate that the Shliach is going to be Machshil L'Mishalech. That doesn't apply in the case of a Shogeg. Okay then? So far so good. Now comes the real challenging part. Let's interpret Rav Sama according to whom? According to the Shoshanas HaMokeh, which means we're back into the halachic mode of Ravina. Even Rav Sama accepts Ravina's definition that we have to find out if you're a Bar Chiyuva or you're not a Bar Chiyuva. Narvas, what does Rav Sama say? That in the case of the Yisrael, who's Mekadesh HaGrusha, this is a case of Bar Chiyuva. What makes him into a Bar Chiyuva, says the Prima Gadim? Lifnei Iver. Here there's no Lifnei Iver, because Lifnei Iver doesn't apply in a case of a Shogeg. He's not trying to trip anybody up. And therefore there would be no Bar Chiyuva, which would mean that according to Rav Sama, we would apply the principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. So Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira in a case of a Shogeg, where the Shliach is a Shogeg, would still apply according to Rav Sama. Why? Because there's no violation whatsoever. And Divrei HaRav means that strict halachic sense that you have to listen to the Rav because the Issur that was addressed to you. In the case of Yisrael, there will be no Shlichus, and now we can extend that to the case of a Shogeg. Why? Because since this, in the case of Yisrael, we're going to say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira because of Lifnei Iver. Correct? In the case of a Yisrael, according to the Shoshanas HaMokim, we're going to apply Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira Divrei Rav to a case of Yisrael because he is mitzuve, he's muzar in what? In Lifnei Iver. Yeah? Everybody got that? In Lifnei Iver. But Lu Yitzuyer, if there was no way of calling the Shliach Bar Chiyuva, neither because A, he has the lav, that's not true, he doesn't have the lav, so he's not doing an Avira. And number two, there's no Lifnei Iver, which would make him into a Bar Chiyuva and activate the principle of Divrei HaRav. That's what Rav Sama is saying, that the violation of Lifnei Iver activates Divrei HaRav. Well, in this case, so he's a Shogeg, there will be no Divrei HaRav here because there's no Lifnei Iver, because there's no Lifnei Iver on a Shogeg. Is Memela, what we're going to say in this case is Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. And we cannot square off with Rashi, because Rashi says in the Mishnah, and Rav Sama can't argue with the Mishnah, that the Mishaleach, meaning the Ganav who sent the Shomer to steal this object, is going to be Chayav in this case. That's not true according to Rav Sama, because the only way he could be Chayav is through Lifnei Iver, and therefore There's no lifnei iver nishogi. I'm not sure, Rabosai. If I had more time, I think we ran out of time now, but I'm not sure if the mathematics works out 100%. But I'm not going to mess things up, of course. It's good. So let's leave it as it. Okay, then? So Rabosai, we'll stop here, and then I'll ask you if you have the pages that we started yesterday with regard to Chametz Pesach.